Next month, Mars will make its closest approach to Earth in 15 years. Observers are hoping the view will help us gain more useful information about the planet's weather and surface conditions. And the mystery of Mars continues to fascinate Michio Kaku, a world-renowned theoretical physicist, futurist, and author. His latest book is The Future of Humanity, Terraforming Mars, Interstellar Travel, Immortality, and Our Destiny Beyond Earth. I spoke with Michio Kaku when he was in Boston for the Live Works Technology Conference. Well, let's first talk about Mars. There is so much talk now from people, including Elon Musk of SpaceX right now, about colonizing Mars. He wants to send a cargo mission there by 2022. How soon do you think we're going to have humans on the red planet?
Well, let's be honest about it. It takes only 3 days to go to the moon. So the moon is a hop, skip, and a jump from the Earth. And I personally believe that at some point in the future, people will honeymoon on the moon. Hmm. Now, Mars, as you point out, is a whole nother ball of wax. 2 years for a round-trip mission to Mars, plus, of course, all the problems of weightlessness, micrometeorites, radiation, stuff like that. But there are technical problems. We, of course, have sent robot probes to Mars, quite a few of them, in fact. And there are real plans now to go to Mars in the 2030s, first to the moon, according to a new presidential directive signed in December, first to the moon, using the moon as a base, and then on to Mars, perhaps around the 2030s, and maybe after that, mining the asteroid belt. So things that were once the stuff of science fiction are now being translated into real rocket science.
Why stop on the moon? Why does that make it easier?
Well, the moon, you can actually bypass the moon. There was a split within the space program with some astronauts saying we should use the moon as a station, a permanent manned space station on the moon. Other people say, well, why bother? Why not simply skip it and go directly to Mars? And that's manifested in the rocket program of today. NASA has set its sights on the moon using the SLS booster rocket to take astronauts to the moon starting next year. The first unmanned SLS booster rocket mission will take place around December of 2019, while Elon Musk, he wants to bypass the moon entirely and go all the way to the planet Mars with his Falcon Heavy and what he calls the BFR rocket. And so we actually have two plans on the table, one to use the moon as a base of operations, and the other one to simply skip the moon and go to Mars directly.
And what's the long-term plan with Mars? Why are we so focused on getting to Mars? It's not really a planet that could support life as we know it on Earth.
Right. Well, first, we want to begin the process of terraforming Mars. If you could somehow, in the future, raise the temperature of Mars by 6 degrees, you could induce an artificial greenhouse effect, and it would take off all by itself. Some people think that if you have satellites, solar satellites, that orbit Mars and reflect sunlight down to the polar ice caps, then you could melt the polar ice caps, and then rivers and seas could once again flow freely on the surface of Mars like they did about 3.5 billion years ago. And then bioengineered plants would thrive in the atmosphere. Plants love carbon dioxide. And it may be possible to genetically modify algae and plants that'll grow in that environment. And then mining operations could also take place. The first thing you want to mine would be ice to extract drinking water once you purify it, and also break it up into oxygen and hydrogen for rocket fuel and for breathing purposes. And so the key word is self-sustaining. You don't want a Mars colony to be a drain on the U.S. economy. No, you want it to be self-sustaining, to have its own mining, to have its own agriculture and its own industries. And, of course, this is more long-term. We're not talking about this happening anytime soon.
Right.
But the basic groundwork is being laid now, even as we speak.
And is it going to be a private company, do you think, that makes it there first, or is it going to be a government space agency?
Well, that's the key question. You see, back in the 60s, it was all done by the government, and things were really, really expensive. In 1966, the Apollo space program budget soaked up 5% of the entire federal budget. That's incredible. That's you cannot self-sustain a space program with that kind of cost, 5% of the federal budget. Now prices have dropped dramatically. In fact, the movie The Martian, starring Matt Damon, cost $100 million.
Right.
But the Indians sent a probe to Mars for $70 million. So a Hollywood movie to Mars costs more than actually going to Mars. That's how much the price has dropped. Normally, it costs about $10,000 to put a pound of anything into orbit. That's your weight in gold. Think of your body made out of solid gold. That's what it costs to put you just into orbit around the Earth. However, Elon Musk has claimed that he could bring down the cost by a factor of 10. And so that would open up outer space for development. And remember that these people have a vision for the future. Elon Musk's vision is that we become a multi-planet species, because after all, the dinosaurs did not have a space program.
Right.
And that's why the dinosaurs aren't here today. So we need a backup plan, says Elon Musk. But then Jeff Bezos, richest man in the world, head of Amazon, states that he wants to make the Earth into a garden. He wants to put polluting industries into outer space so the Earth becomes a park, a garden that basically is a testament to a clean environment, to a new vision for the planet Earth. So we have Silicon Valley billionaires coming in with a new vision, new energy, and of course, big bucks.
We're speaking with physicist Michio Kaku, and I want to ask you about a couple of other things. One of the biggest advancements, it seems, in recent years in the world of physics is the ability for us to detect gravitational waves. We've talked about LIGO, these big detectors that are in different parts of the United States, and we've been able to do that. What do you think the significance of that is?
Oh, I think it's tremendous. Eventually, we'll put LIGO into outer space. That's called LISA, Laser Interferometry Space Antenna. It is three satellites connected by laser beams that detect gravity waves from the Big Bang itself. We're going to get baby pictures of the infant universe, maybe a trillionth of a second after the instant of creation. Now, the pictures of the Big Bang that you see on the internet are pictures that were taken more or less when the universe was 300,000 years old. But we don't want that. We want baby pictures of the universe leaving the womb at the instant of creation. And physicists like myself hope to pick up evidence of an umbilical cord of the infant universe as it emerges from the womb, connecting it to a parent universe. The point I'm raising is that with gravity wave detectors in outer space, we may just have the possibility of detecting the pre-Big Bang universe.
How?
See, if you pick up radiation at the instant of the Big Bang or just afterwards, you could run the videotape backwards. String theory is what I do for a living. That's my day job. And string theory is a theory that goes even beyond Einstein and goes before the Big Bang. And string theory makes several predictions as to what the pre-Big Bang universe was like. And we may be able to run the videotape backwards on LISA to detect radiation before the instant of creation to give us an inkling of the pre-Big Bang universe. Now, in string theory, which is not yet confirmed, I should emphasize that fact, we know that the universe is a bubble of some sort. That's Einstein's picture. The bubble is expanding. String theory says that there are other bubbles out there, and these bubbles can bump into each other or peel off baby bubbles, and that's the Big Bang. So the Big Bang is nothing but the collision of universes or the fissioning off of baby universes, and this is called the multiverse theory. You can go to any physics conference, and there's always some session on the multiverse. It's one of the hottest topics now in quantum cosmology, the application of quantum mechanics, string theory, to Einstein's theory of the Big Bang.
Got all that? That's theoretical physicist Michio Kaku. We will continue our conversation tomorrow and talk about dark energy, dark matter, alien life, artificial intelligence, and the state of science education.